Introduction. In the first two volumes of my collected stories, this is the second, I have well over 50 stories printed, and there are still plenty more for future volumes. I must admit that it fills even me with a kind of awe. I say to myself, where did I find the time to write all these stories? Considering that I've also written hundreds of books and thousands of non-fiction essays. The answer is that I've been at it for 52 years without pausing. So what all these stories mean is that I've now gotten to be a rather elderly person. Another question is, where did I get all the ideas for these stories? I am asked that all the time. The answer is that in the course of more than half a century of thinking up ideas, the process becomes automatic, and indeed unstoppable. I was in bed with my wife last night, and something or other spurred my imagination, and I said to her, I've just thought of a brand new frustrated wish story. What is it? Said she. Our hero, who was blessed with a plain wife, asks a genie to grant him a different, beautiful young woman in bed with him every night. He gets it on condition that at no time must he touch, caress, or even just casually bump the young lady's backside. If he does, the young lady turns into his wife. Each night, in the course of lovemaking, he finds himself unable to stay away entirely from the backside, and the result is that every night he finds himself making love to his wife. Footnote. Since my dear wife Janet is to me the most beautiful woman in the world, and she knows it, she did not take umbrage at this story, aside from telling me that I had a sick mind. The point is that everything reminds me of a story. For instance, I was going over a complex set of galley proofs of a book of mine when I received a call from an editor. He wanted a science fiction story in a hurry. I can't, I said. I'm all wrapped up in galleys. Put them aside. No, I said, and hung up. Still, I couldn't help but think as I hung up, how convenient it would be if I owned a robot that could do my galleys for me. At once, I did put them aside because I suddenly had a story. You'll find it here as Galley Slave. My favorite story in this collection is The Bicentennial Man. And just before we entered the bicentennial year of 1976, an editor asked me to write a story with that title. About what? I asked. About anything. All I have is a title. I thought, no man can be a bicentennial man, for we don't live for 200 years. A robot might, but he is not a man. So, how about a story about a robot who wants to be a man? And I at once began The Bicentennial Man. It ended by winning a Hugo and a Nebula. Once, my dear wife Janet had a bad headache, but felt it necessary to prepare dinner for her loving husband anyway. As it turned out, the dinner was an unusually good one. And, being a husband, I said, you ought to have headaches oftener. And after she finished throwing something at me, I wrote the story, Light Verse. A fellow writer died young in 1958 and got a nice obituary in the New York Times. Those were early years, and no one expected anyone to pay attention to science fiction writers in those days. I took to brooding. When I passed on to the great typewriter in the sky, would the New York Times make mention of that fact, too? Nowadays, I know they will, but in those days, I didn't. So after I had brooded sufficiently over the matter, I wrote obituary. I had an argument with an editor once, hot and heavy. He wanted me to make a specific change in a story of mine, and I did not want to make it. Not out of laziness, but because I thought it would spoil the story. In the end, he had his way, editors usually do, but I got even by writing The Monkey's Finger, which is a good description of what went on. A woman editor once asked me to write a story about a woman robot, since all my robots had been, up to that time, men. I agreed with no trouble whatever and wrote Feminine Intuition. And what I remember best about the story was that I didn't quite get it through my head that the woman editor in question wanted the story for herself. I rather thought she was giving me generalized advice. Consequently, when I finished the story and a different editor told me he needed one badly, I said, here's one. And when the first editor found out, boy, did I get it. Sometimes stories arise because other people make some casual remark. Such stories as Let's Get Together and Rain, Rain, Go Away are examples. I don't feel guilty about lifting ideas from the statements of other people. They're not going to do anything with them, so why shouldn't I? But the point is that stories arise out of anything. You just have to keep your eyes and ears open and your imagination working. Once during a train trip, my first wife asked me where I got my ideas from. I said, from anywhere. I can write a story about this train trip. And I started writing it longhand. That story does not appear in this collection, however. Isaac Asimov.